This is Robbie Dillmore from the Christian Car Guy and Kingdom Pursuit, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it and share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Nikita Koloff, the Russian Nightmare here for Crescent Automotive. If buying a car is a nightmare for you, my friends, Brian and Jamie Johnson at Crescent Automotive make it simple to find your pre-owned dream car with no hassle, affordable windshield pricing. No matter where you live, they will get your American dream car to you, baby. DriveCrescent.com is all you need to know. Their whole inventory is right there with the right price. Everybody drives a Crescent. You should too. DriveCrescent.com.
Once a world champion wrestler, now a champion for Christ. Once the Russian Nightmare, now the devil's worst nightmare. And your tag team partner, Nikita Koloff. It's time to man up.
Welcome back to another episode of the Man Up Show with Nikita Koloff. No longer the Russian Nightmare, now the Devil's Nightmare, storming the gates of hell, winning people into the kingdom of God. And each and every week, I try to bring a special guest onto this show. This one, super special. I mean, they're all special in my eyes, but for real, this one in my eyes is super special because I'm going to introduce a peer to the wrestling industry, to the wrestling world, a name that you will be totally familiar with. And if you're not, your head must be in the sand, especially if you're a wrestling fan. And that's none other than one of the legendary Four Horsemen, Mr. Tully Blanchard. Tully, welcome to the Man Up Show.
Well, GQ, it's great to be here, and it's great to be see what your life has come through.
Well, it is. We're just going to have a conversation, and for the listeners out there, I mean, there's some who probably know quite a bit of your story or quite a bit of your history, and then again, there's some who may not. I mean, already the show in just over a year has been downloaded in 58 different countries, and so the message is getting out, and of course it all centers around Christ, but also around the life of an individual. And I want to be able to talk about that maybe a little later in the show, but before we get there, tell our listeners you grew up in Texas and in San Antonio, Tully?
Yes.
So San Antonio, yep. Texas, and you know, I was just trying to recall. Of course, you come out of a wrestling family, right? Your dad, Joe Blanchard, right, was very involved in wrestling. Because I don't know that I know this, but was your dad always a promoter? Did he wrestle before he promoted, or what did your dad do?
My dad wrestled for 30 years. He was the Big Eight champion in 1950, heavyweight amateur wrestling.
Wow. Okay.
At Kansas State, and actually it was the Big Seven back then.
Okay.
And he went to Canada and played pro football. Barry Windham just sent me a picture of Gene Kaniski, Wilbur Snyder, and my dad, and Daryl Royal. And Daryl Royal's first head coaching job was with the Edmonton Eskimos, and coached my dad and Gene and Wilbur. And they were all superstars in professional wrestling. Gene Kaniski went on to be the world champion. And just great guys. We moved from Indianapolis to Texas to move into the promotion part. Dad was able to buy into the promotions in South Texas.
Okay.
And so that was a good thing for our family and got us zeroed in. So when I was in the fifth grade, I became a San Antonioite.
Okay, fifth grade, and I'm fifth grade was instrumental for me too. I moved out of the projects, I call it, the projects, the ghettos of Minneapolis, out to the suburbs, a suburb called Robbinsdale. But let me ask you just when would your dad would have played in the C? Like what was that in the '60s? He was in the CFL, or when would he have been up there?
Oh no! He played up there in '50. I was born in Calgary in '54.
Okay.
And so it would have been 50, 51, 52, 53, 54.
Wow.
In that era. He played for 3 years up there. And that's where he started wrestling. Stu Hart started my dad in wrestling and in professional wrestling. And it was, then he got booked and we moved into the United States after when I was 6 weeks old. And
wow.
And he started wrestling and traveled and travel.
Travel. So he was part of the legendary dungeon, as I know it, the Stu Hart dungeon. Yeah?
Well, yeah, I guess you might put it that way. But my dad could really wrestle.
So. Oh, yeah, no, like, Vern, right. But Vern Gagne style, Brad Rangan style, right? I mean, yeah, so... For sure. I mean, a lot of those guys back in those days, correct me if I'm wrong, Tully, even some of the names you mentioned, I mean, a majority of them had that amateur wrestling background, right?
I believe so. Yeah, they were. Yeah, Vern was national champion, if I'm not mistaken.
University of Minnesota, yeah.
Yeah, and then you had the Dr. Big Bill Miller. I think he was a big amateur guy, too, and Danny Miller and some people, and then Baron von Raschke was a great amateur. I think he was a national champion too.
Yes,
and
Nebraska, I think. Yeah,
yeah, he was just monster of all the athletes and stuff that came into professional wrestling back in that era, and not everybody's son went into wrestling.
Right.
A lot of us did.
Right.
You know, Greg Gagne and myself and Fritz von Erich's kids all wrestled. And
yeah.
But it was, it was harder to become a star if your dad had already been a star.
Okay.
And so I'm fortunate that my dad won championships and stuff, but he realized that the promoters were the ones making all the money, and so he moved that direction. So that was exciting. I didn't know it was exciting, but it was, because it got us off the road. I mean, I got to go to the same school and play football and get a college scholarship.
Yeah, so I knew,
et cetera.
I knew you played football. So, but you didn't wrestle. You didn't do amateur wrestling.
No, because South Texas amateur wrestling had not got there yet.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
So we amateur wrestled the football team because it was – my dad talked to the coaches and said, if you can amateur wrestle, it makes your linemen better. And so we ended up having amateur wrestling in off season, and so it was – good. It was fun. I mean, I had amateur wrestling in the garage and realized at my nice little 17-year-old self that my dad was still tougher than I was.
Right.
So.
Right. Oh, man.
So, all good stuff.
So you embrace football at a young age. Now, obviously, football and Texas just kind of go hand in hand, right? Like you're saying, they go hand in hand, right? I mean, high school football in Texas, for those who don't know, is probably as bigger than college football in some states across America.
That's possible. It's certainly Friday Night Lights. Is a big deal in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, Tully, seeing picture, 10, 15,000 fans at a Friday night high school football game. I'm like, we were happy to get 10 or 15 fans at our high school football game on Friday. I'm exaggerating slightly, but I saw some huge crowds, high school crowds, and the stadiums.
Well, the state championship game in Texas would have 60, 70,000 people.
See, that's insane. I can't even wrap my head around that. Like, we didn't have that in Minnesota, I can just tell you right now. There was no crowds of that size other than Minnesota Viking game, but not a high school championship game. That's amazing. Wow. Well, so you have this football career in high school, you said, and you mentioned you got a scholarship. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, quarterback, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to SMU out of high school. And Hayden Fry was the head coach at SMU.
Okay.
And he got fired before the last game my freshman year. They brought in a new coach, which changed our offense and changed a lot of stuff. And they changed me from quarterback to fullback in spring training freshman year. And then when we went back for two-a-days, they changed me from fullback to weak side defensive end.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I was actually second team, so I made the traveling squad. And I told my dad, I said, Dad, I'm going to waste a whole year of eligibility running down on the kickoff team.
Right.
I said, this is crazy. And so he agreed, so I dropped out of school and came home for a semester and didn't really look at a different place to play because I wanted to go. Back then, you couldn't transfer into big colleges.
Right.
And so I went to registered to a junior college so that I could graduate. And if you graduate from a junior college, then you were eligible. You didn't have to redshirt and sit out.
Yep.
And so I went to Cisco Junior College and got all my classes to finish my sophomore year and graduate. And Terry Funk talked to my dad and said, your boy needs to come to West Texas. And Amarillo was the farthest thing from my mind. So,
right.
But I ended up going up there on a trip and throwing the ball for the coach and et cetera, et cetera. And they offered me a scholarship. And so, and it was Missouri Valley Conference. It was still Division I at that time. And so, you know, went forward and everything was good. Went back to school. And probably the most crazy thing that happened that not a lot of people know about, but when I finished the fall semester or spring semester at Cisco Junior College, I had 2 weeks off, and then I had to come back for summer school and finish so that I could graduate in summer school and then report to West Texas. And I drove back home. I refereed in Abilene on the Friday night. Then I went back to San Antonio, drove most of the night, got up. A friend of mine wanted to go out to a place called Edge Falls, which is about 30 minutes north of San Antonio. You jump off cliffs into the water.
Yeah.
And we'd been there many times. And in fact, it was Mike Blackwood. It was his older brother and younger brother were part of the Killer Bees. They were the Blackwood brothers that played for the Dolphins, and Lyle played for the Colts, too.
Okay.
And Mike and I were in a car wreck, and my right lat muscle was severed.
Wow.
Right to my ribs, and it took them 5 hours to sew me back together.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net. and donate today.
Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com because you are number one.
Didn't tell anybody because I didn't figure if they knew that my arm was hurt and I couldn't throw, I figured they'd take my scholarship away from me, so I didn't tell anybody.
Right.
And I got in shape and reported and didn't throw very well, but we ran the wishbone.
Okay,
I learned how to run the wishbone.
Familiar with that, yep.
And I ended up beating out the other quarterbacks in two-a-days, and I started the first game of the year at quarterback for West Texas State Buffaloes. Now they're the West Texas A&M Buffaloes.
Okay.
And so that was pretty wild. It did affect our offense a little bit. Coach Mayfield walked into the dressing room on a Monday one time and said, "How far do you think you threw that ball the other day?" I said, maybe 45 yards or something. He said, 27 yards.
Okay. Right.
I said, "Woo," which I could throw a little further than that.
Right.
When my arm was in full.
Before the injury. Pre-injury.
Yeah. And it amazed me. But anyway, I still didn't tell him about the car wreck until he saw me without a shirt on.
Yeah.
I never went anywhere without a shirt on. And he said, "What happened to you?" I said, "I was in a car wreck." He said, "Oh, my gosh." I said, "Yeah, it was in April."
That's a story that you don't. That's something you don't write. If you're trying to make the starting spot or make the team, you don't really want to devote some of that information to them, right? Hey, let me ask you a question. So about West Texas State, because you know I hear questions all the time. You know, I get questioned all the time about all the professional wrestlers that came out of Robbinsdale High School, but man. Dully, you had quite a few guys that came out of West Texas, some of which you played with, and rattle off a few of the names that came out of Texas State University.
Well, you got Dory and Terry Funk, both were world champions. Bruiser Brody.
Tito, didn't Tito go there?
Tito played with me.
Yeah, he played tight end or something, right?
Yes, he was on tight end.
Okay.
And he played for a year up in Canada, and he was the last cut of the Kansas City Chiefs one year.
Okay.
And he came back and finished got his teaching degree. My dad said, you know, he's handsome, he's Hispanic. I said, we need to get him in wrestling. He's 6'2" and big. So we recruited him to start going to wrestling. So when I graduated midterm, Merced and I went to Florida and started. And Jim Barnett fell in love with him and shot him up to Atlanta. And they ended up changing his name to Tito Santana, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I mean,
but you've got Stan Hansen was there, the Funks.
Yeah, a lot of guys.
Oh, Ted DiBiase was there when I got there.
Yep. Yeah.
And then he realized that having a wife and a child that you needed to make more money than be on scholarship. So when they changed the rules. That you could wrestle, you could be a professional in one sport and not in another.
Yeah.
And still be an amateur. I went and wrestled that summer, and Teddy went and wrestled that summer, and he didn't come back to school, and I came back and played the last year.
For your last year. And so what year would that have been that you and Tito and something like that? So what year was that you got broke into the ranks of professional wrestling?
It was 74.
Okay.
And Merced was a senior and played my sophomore year. So we played together. And then DiBiase and I would have been, I think he and I would have been the same class.
Gotcha.
Because when I graduated from junior college and went, I was a sophomore in eligibility and I was a junior in school.
Okay.
And so that was that. So, who else? Manny Fernandez played after me. I think that's about it.
Well, it's some pretty big names in wrestling for anyone who's a wrestling fan. So you leave school, you get into wrestling, and was it an easy decision for you to decide to? Yeah, you know, obviously your dad's already promoting, and so was that a pretty easy decision for you to decide you wanted to do that as a career as well?
Well, what I wanted. I wanted to go learn the wrestling business.
Okay.
I wanted to, because I knew that I would be a promoter and produce TV shows and stuff like that. So I wanted to learn what it was to be like. I wanted to learn how to work, number one. I wanted to learn what it was like to be on the road, because the guys that you now are hiring, you know, how do you deal with them? How do you pay them? How do you make it a good job instead of, a sorry job.
Right.
And so I went to Florida and learned an immense amount about TV production, about TV shows, how they did their TV show in a small setting, but it made it look like an arena with live crowd and stuff like that. So that was huge. And then I realized that
Eddie Graham? Was that under Eddie?
Yes.
Graham? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And Eddie liked me, and he came. I met Eddie 5 days a week at the studio, and he and I wrestled and talked philosophy and talked about what to do and how to do it and when to do it, and probably accelerated my career 10 years. And but they didn't pay really well. So I got all the stuff, and Wahoo was up in North Carolina. And so I called Wahoo up and asked him if they needed anybody. And so I got hired by the Crocketts up there in the end of 1977 and went up there, and my income tripled, which was nice.
Yeah, right.
And
pay increase, yep.
And their territory was doing unbelievable business, and you know, I was traveling with Wahoo, and I was traveling with the top guys. And
who would it have been, like Blackjack Mulligan, or who would have been some of the guys? Wahoo McDaniel, who else?
Blackjack Mulligan,
Johnny Weaver,
at that time, Sergeant Slaughter, I think was still there.
Roddy Piper, was he there?
Piper had already been stolen.
Gotcha.
At that time, they were just pushing Steamboat, Bill Eadie, I forget what they called him underneath the mask.
Yeah, wasn't it like the Mask Superstar or something like
mask
that?
Mask Superstar, there you mask go, Mask Superstar.
Mask Superstar, and Flair was there at that point, right?
Wasn't Paul he? Jones, Flair was just starting to be on top and learn what it was like to be a star. And so it was a lot of good people to learn from. And, you know, Wahoo was one of the great comeback babyface guys
right.
in the business. So
right.
I watched him and watched the rest of them, and I went out and did my 30-minute matches and got beat up by the old-timers that were just there having it working.
Learn your craft,
and,
though, right?
Yes, I did. And so then at the end of that year, the end of 77, I figured I had learned from two of the best territories in the country on how to do it, what to do, how to produce your TV shows, how to make it interesting for the wrestling fans, and so I took that knowledge back to San Antonio.
Okay.
And told my dad that we needed to make some big adjustments because of, you know, the old way of taping the first three matches on your house show and make that your TV show was not conducive to big business.
A big production. And let me interject. Wrestling was you were transitioning the wrestling business for your dad. And here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to do a part two because we haven't even got to really the meat of your career, which I want to talk about. And so we got just a couple minutes left here. But so you go down to San Antonio, share with your dad everything you learned, and then it was things began to transition in your dad's promotion.
Yes, we started making big changes. The thing I never wanted was to be a promoter's kid that got a push and didn't deserve it.
Right, right.
And
right.
And so I didn't.
You wanted to earn it. You wanted to earn it.
I was not a box office babyface.
Right.
And so I finally talked my dad into Wahoo came down and was our booker, you know, and they were trying to have me be involved and stuff. And it just wasn't working. I said, guys, switch me heel and whatever. And so
right.
we did. And our business almost doubled overnight.
Okay.
And but it was pulling teeth with Wahoo because promoter's kids were never heels. They were always baby faces.
Right. They were
and,
a good guy.
And so it was a big step because my dad being the promoter and helped with announcing and et cetera, et cetera. And it was a thing that ended up being great. And I mean, it was really simple. I mean, it was probably one of the simplest things in the world. We started a Southwest Championship belt, and we had a tournament for it. And I wrestled Alberto Madrill for the championship in the match, and did a spot where he did a leapfrog and didn't leapfrog high enough, and I hit him head first into his private areas, and he went down. And the referee said, you know, it was an accident. All the people said it was an accident, blah, 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 blah. And all I did was say, okay, he can't continue. Give me the belt. I'm the champion.
Well, there you go. We're going to leave on a cliffhanger. So we're going to let everyone know. They're going to have to tune in for part two to figure out what happened here, okay? So let's do this. Take a break. Tune in next week for part two with the legendary Four Horsemen, Tully Blanchard. Thank you for listening to the Man Up Show today.
Men, I would like to challenge each of you to consider spending 5 days with Lex Luger and I at Man Camp, pursuing the heart of God. Ladies, if you're listening, we'll send your men home better equipped to be men of God, godly husbands, and godly fathers. If that appeals to you, give them your blessing and encourage them to sign up today at mancamp.info. Pastors, if you would like to bring Koloff for Christ Ministries and Man Up Conference to your community, go to koloff.org and email me. Remember this, it's time to man up.
All feet agree, Clemens Carpet is where you need to be. With carpet, vinyl, tile, and hardwood from the top brands, Clemens Carpet does it right from beginning to install. Voted number one by you in the Reader's Choice Awards. Doug, Chad, Benny, Pee-wee, and the team at Clemens Carpet look forward to seeing and serving you soon.
This is Nikita Koloff, and I want to thank Clemens Carpet for supporting my new show, Man Up, Saturday afternoon at 12:30 on the Truth Network.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.
This is the Truth Network.